All right, good morning, men. How's everyone doing this morning? Go ahead and find a seat, guys. We're going to get started.
Morning, Kurt.
Guy, why don't you come on up? Do we have any first-timers here this morning? First time to Ironman? Awesome. Welcome. So glad you guys are here. If there is any first-timers that slip past the first-timers table, we do have a designated table. If it is your first time, we invite you to sit at the first-timers table with us. I'd love to open us up in a word of prayer, and then I'm going to pass the mic over to Guy Nichols, who's going to be introducing this morning's teaching fellow. Will you guys pray with me? Father, thank you for this morning. I'm so grateful for Friday mornings and just each man here today. God, we just ask that you would tenderize our hearts, open up our ears to hear your word today through this morning's teaching fellow, by your Holy Spirit, and use the men at our tables during our table time, God, to speak into my life, speak into each other's lives. Use us today as iron sharpens iron. So would one man sharpen another this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I have the honor and privilege of introducing Chris Severance this morning. We are the Trust and Obey table, and Chris is one of our two co-captains, and so without further ado, I'll talk about Chris. He's a Florida native, was born in Orlando, Florida at Orange Memorial Hospital. His parents, LB and Linda Severance. He is one of 10 children and has lived in Central Florida all of his life. The Severance family lived in Oral Vista, and the children began attending Irwin Memorial Methodist Church on John Street for Sunday school and vacation Bible school. Christopher was baptized soon after when the congregation built the Kirkman Road United Methodist Church. The family moved to Ocoee, Florida, and it was there that Christopher came to Christ as a child at a tent revival in the parking lot across the street from the Ocoee United Methodist Church when a traveling evangelist, Underwood, a disgraced Methodist minister, invited Christopher to accept what Jesus had already done for him on the cross for the forgiving of his sins. Christopher graduated West Orange High School and Full Sail Center for the Recording Arts. He enjoys playing the guitar, singing, reading, and writing, and learning new things. He enjoys social media, current events, politics, and was recently commissioned a Colson Fellow that equips men and women to develop and live out a Christian biblical worldview, and is currently working to develop a project to express and teach what he's learned. Christopher lives in Winter Garden, is a member of Emmaus Church, Winter Garden, an independent, non-denominational Reformed church, and is caregiver to his 90-year-old mother. And I'll also say that he's a godly person, great greeter, and coffee maker, and my good friend, Chris.
The other day, a guy told me he was reaching out for a speaker. I said he was really reaching. Andrew, first of 12 also ordinary men, from the teaching of John MacArthur in the book 12 Ordinary Men, how the master shaped his disciples for greatness and what he wants to do with you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version of God's word, the version of the Bible we use here at Iron Men of God. Chapter 1, verses 40 through 42, the New Testament as well, if you would like to follow along. And John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. First, I would like you to stand for the reading of God's word and the prayer of illumination. Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning and ask that this teaching be from you, and the message that I share will be from your heart, and your word will be illumined by your Holy Spirit and impressed upon the minds of the men gathered here today, that you are still calling men who are rather ordinary to share your message with others who do not know you. I pray that if there is any among us who do not know you, that today they can be the day they can find a saving faith in you. I pray they will be bold enough to ask me or another man here today how they can be saved. I pray. Amen. So be it. Now hear the word of God. Matthew 10:1-4. And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. And now from John chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. Please be seated. Men, there is much work to be done in our homes, in our communities, in our workplaces, and in our society, and in this world for the cause of Jesus Christ. And our Father is still calling ordinary men to a world that has lost its way. From the first century of church history and up until now, Jesus has been about his Father's business by building his church, and he has been about that business first by prayer and the calling of 12 ordinary men. Much ado has been made to the depicting of the apostles in stained glass windows and cathedrals and churches. And the apostles do have a very special part in the history of the church and a role in heaven above. We should never lose sight that these men, for the most part, were very much ordinary. From the time he called his first apostles, which means sent, he called the 12 out of the disciples who were learners or students who would hear his message and accept the call to his work in a world that was dark, not unlike the darkness we see manifesting itself in our society today. This year, we are studying here at Iron Men of God Connect the book 12 Ordinary Men by John MacArthur, where we are introduced to the calling of common men to an uncommon calling. Last month, the focus was on Peter, and this month, the focus at Iron Men Connect is on that of Andrew. Andrew was the first to be called. Andrew was an ordinary fisherman. His name from the Greek meaning is manly. He was no slacker. He was a fisherman that required great strength. And when he was called by Jesus to follow him, he came to Jesus without hesitation. There are several references in Scripture to Andrew as among the leaders of Jesus' inner circle. Andrew was the one who brought his brother, who was the impetuous, outspoken Simon Peter, to Jesus. Peter was pretty much the foremost leader of the 12. You could always count on Peter to be the first to open his mouth, sometimes to insert his foot, the old foot in the mouth disease. But most of the time, Peter was the leader who exercised great faith. Peter was the one who, when Jesus asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter was quick to respond, "Thou art the Christ." Andrew was, however, a little more reserved and obscure than Peter, tending more to stay in the background and dealing more with other people, more one-on-one. Maybe you are more like Andrew rather than Peter. Much has been said about mass evangelism, and it certainly has its place. Maybe, though, you are the kind of man that is more inclined to be an encourager or choose to disciple others in the fashion of relationship evangelism. This role is important, too. Just imagine the impact of this man. Remember the likes of a Sunday school teacher that brought a young Dwight L. Moody to the Lord? Imagine the rewards of a person or persons who encouraged the likes of Billy Graham, or the one that brought you to Jesus. One of Andrew's names was that of the bringer. He brought Peter to Jesus after spending time, perhaps on sabbatical from the fishing business, listening to John the Baptist when he heard John say, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Andrew brought the Greek men who wanted to meet with Jesus, and it was Andrew who brought Nathanael to Christ. And it was also Andrew who brought the little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes to Jesus. Jesus called men to teach him his way of salvation. Yes, but it goes far beyond responding to an altar call or praying the sinner's prayer. Much emphasis has been placed on those two elements of coming to faith in Jesus Christ. The importance is not too ill-placed, but our call as men is much more about God's work of redeeming and restoring this creation. And he has a place for ordinary men like you and me in his plan for this world. In these last few years, it has been impressed upon me the importance of the need of making priority a study of God's word and of what it means to be a Christian man and of our culture. Important questions have been asked by philosophers and by ordinary men alike. Questions like, who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? What is my purpose? What has happened to this world to bring on this darkness and the brokenness we see in our own lives and in the world around us? Has God set this creation in motion to its own destruction? Some question if God has a plan to redeem this broken world, to fix this broken world. Does he have a plan to remedy what went wrong when sin entered in and corrupted all of creation? Well, I can tell you this, men, yes, God does have a plan. He has a plan and a purpose, and he has a role for you to play as well. He has a part in the restoration of our society and in his creation. From the earliest of times, God has sought out a remnant to call his own. And he is still calling men. He calls out to ordinary men, even today, to fulfill his purposes. We at Iron Men of God have studied several books in the last few years, like The Measure of a Man, about what it means to be a Christian man. Then the book Shape, about finding our purpose, our role in ministering to others. And then last year, How God Makes Men. We were mentored by 10 men from the Bible who were very ordinary men from the start until God intervened in their lives. Most of the men, when God called and interrupted their lives with His plan, were about their own business and ways when God worked through their brokenness and the various aspects of their lives to fulfill His purposes through those willing and often even reluctant men. The underlying message, men, is that He can use you as well. Whether you are called to the mission field in a far-flung land, or called to lead a small group, or called to the mission field of leading your family, in your work, in your workplace, or as a community leader, as a teacher, as a pastor, even as a retiree, you are still on mission as a follower of Jesus Christ, and He is still calling all of us to do His work in His strength with our might. Maybe you think, well, I've blown it, or my family has grown, or I didn't lead my family as the spiritual leader I should have been, or I'm retired, or I just don't know enough about the Bible, or I don't know enough of the ways of God. I don't even know how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Men, as long as you have breath, there is hope for you. You can begin again, and you can begin anew, and you can begin today. Abraham Lincoln, after hearing a well-thought-out and delivered message, commented to the speaker that the speaker's message had failed because it did not challenge him to do anything. Men, here's your challenge, and here's your call to action. Please begin with prayer and the study of God's Word and the path that is laid out before us here in Iron Men of God in 2024. Please join us in our study this year. It is a much bandied about statistic that most men, some say upwards of 85%, will not read very many books past high school. I, for one, used to be a voracious reader, and for a number of reasons got away from it. The older I get, though, I'm returning to the desire to read and of study. It is a joke between some of us older adults, who at least admit that you're seniors, that when you get older and do a lot of reading during your golden years, especially reading the Bible, that we are cramming for finals. I do hope that it is impressed upon you, whether you are young or old, the importance of reading and of study, and that you avail yourselves of the opportunities of the studies that we will engage this year with Iron Men of God in 2024. We are studying this year biblical manhood and womanhood, our roles and responsibilities. God is still calling ordinary men to this uncommon task, His plan for our lives. Will you answer the call? Will you? It is my prayer that you do. Amen and amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Chris. We appreciate you so much. We appreciate everything you do for us every Friday morning here at Connect and at the coffee. You're an incredible servant. We're going to spend the rest of the morning at our tables doing table talk. Chris, I sent out the three questions that Chris created last night. So table captains, I'm going to pass the floor over to you guys, and we're going to spend the rest of the morning at our tables.